In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to Fan Base Deep Dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Brian Schackman and John Senecal, your hosts here. Episode 72. We'll recap my opening day experience at Fenway, which was honestly not good. We'll talk about Gerrit Cole's start to the season, which is not good. We'll talk about how to handle a perfect game in the modern game. And we'll also talk about the Oakland A's. You probably couldn't name a player on the team.
Your Oakland A's.
But they're good, but nobody goes, and we'll talk about that as well. But first of all, John, how's it going? How's your baseball season starting?
It's all right. The fantasy's a little weak. You picked up a W last week.
I did. And are
scored a lot of points.
Are you looking at it?
So I have Gerrit Cole as one of my starters. I think he was my first pick, actually. And my pitching tanked last week. I think my best pitchers were Taylor Rogers and Romano, the two relievers. Everybody else was in the bucket, dude.
I got to look at the macro.
My son would say, kick the dog.
I've just been looking at, I got a couple trade proposals on the table. I haven't really looked at the performance of my players.
You're first place after 1 week.
Switching the lineups. I feel like in leagues like this, if you just stay on top of your lineup, you'll do okay.
Yeah.
And then it's about quality of performance.
It's really about, in general, like, listen, it's just like the real deal. It's like, if you guys stay healthy, you should be good, right? Like,
right. And if you don't go over the limits and stuff.
Yeah, my pitching's a mess right now. I got, you know, Ryu, and you know, I got all the guys that are a mess, basically.
Pete Alonso's been good for me. But listen, I want to talk about Fenway Park, because...
You were at opening day?
I was. And my wife and I have gone to maybe 17 straight.
This was a debatable opening day, right? Or was this going to... You were going no matter what?
Well, we wanted to get our... We couldn't get our regular seats.
Okay.
And then... They offered us seats very close to it for $200 each, and we said, no, thank you. So we went just into the... We just bought tickets, and we got pretty good seats in the right field box for about $100 each.
Wow, that's good. Fenway tickets are not cheap.
Not cheap at all. And so it's my wife's favorite day of the year. She will tell you that it is... She kept score for the whole game. Back in the day when we didn't have three kids, she would...
She was the Sir League scorekeeper.
Well, no, but she would get a little gassed, and then, you know,
you don't see that like anymore.
No, in fact, she attracts attention, so she does it now because she likes the attention. But in the old days, she'd get a little drunk and then stop.
Yeah,
and then,
that's a lost art,
right? So she does it, and we argue like we used to. I do F anything that's in the air that's caught. I do F, but now they do pop up and P, but whatever. Like essentially, you know, we do most of it correct, and so we were down the right field line, and I want to tell you that Fenway is in my opinion in a little bit of trouble, and I'm just going to tick through the experience. You can comment on you what
you're not talking physical trouble, are you? Like crumbling trouble? Well, like old Detroit Tiger Stadium?
No. They've gone cashless, right? So every transaction has to be a completed credit card transaction, which is obviously the keeping with the modern times. But
I smell lines.
It slows things down like you wouldn't believe. And I also think that they must have a staffing shortage, because they weren't selling beer in the stands where we were.
Yeah.
And someone told me on the other side of the stadium they were.
Well, nobody wants to work anywhere. You know, what are they going to work at Fenway for?
So, right. I mean, it's just hard to find help right now. But the bottom line is that the only lines that were manageable were chicken fingers and fries and sausage. And that's like, we wanted to try something different. If you wanted to try something different...
If you're 10 and under, you're perfectly fine. Chicken fingers and fries.
It was probably 40 minutes. So you could lose, even in modern baseball, you could lose at least a whole inning. And then my wife went in the kettle corn line. She waited 15 minutes. The line dissipated but she saw they were out of kettle corn. They had to make a whole new batch. It would have been another 15 minutes to get it. And so my point is that... This leads to my second point, which is related, is that out of the 38,000, it would be generous to say that 10,000 people actually cared about the game.
Right.
And so if you couple those two, half the people, maybe they don't care about the lines, but if you want to watch the game, it's just, it's ridiculous. And the thing is, like, we've been complaining, I could complain about prices too. Two 16-ounce Sam Summers were $24, but like, I've been paying, you know, like, it's like at the casino.
The beer thing, I feel, is like, is acceptable at this point. Like, you're locked down.
Right.
You know, I get more jammed up when you got to pay $16 or $18, $20 for a freaking cheeseburger. Yeah. You know, like at Yankee Stadium, you get a cheeseburger and fries, it's like $24 or something.
I took my dad to Yankee. It's funny, my dad mentioned this the other day when I took him to Yankee Stadium. It might even have been 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think we got two beers and two burgers, and it was like $45.
Yeah.
And my dad was like...
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Well, let me ask you this, though, Brian. Now, if you...
And I'm not even done, by the way.
All right, well, let me ask you this. So if you go to the modern ballpark theme... Is it a better experience? Because I know you go to Fenway and you're sucked into the tunnels and you're underneath and you're not watching the game while you're in the line. I don't know how they are. They have monitors there. They've got to have some
sort
of
monitors. They have TVs up, yeah.
But I mean, obviously they're probably not placed well because it's an old stadium. Now, if you come to the new stadiums, like we'll say Yankee Stadium's one of the newer ones, you know, Phillies.
It's sort of open air.
Open air. Yeah. You turn around, you're getting a burger. You hear a noise. You turn around, you're looking at the game.
Yeah.
Or you're looking at a big monitor in front of you to the left, to the right. Would that made it a better experience for you? You know what I'm leading here, a ballpark down on the docks.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that Fenway's here forever, but there's no doubt, like, if they did a Fenway replica down in the Seaport, that would be bleeping believable.
I mean, I'm the first one to complain. If we go to a baseball game, I want to watch the baseball game, right? I don't want to spend 35 minutes to 40 minutes during the whole game in line for ice cream or whatever. And when you bring a family, that's what's going to happen, right?
Right.
Unless you're sitting in the ultra box seats and they're going to bring you the food to you, you're basically screwed. You're getting up and you're going to pay a high premium
right.
for food and you're going to miss a lot of the game.
And
I'd rather not do that.
And listen, they're going to say, oh, you're just old people. It was brutal. It was unbelievably brutal. So the combination of understaffing and the credit card transaction only just made the lines unbelievable. Then we were in front of these two women were with their boyfriends and it was unreal. Oh my God, my friend's pregnant and she didn't show for 5 months. And my nails, I couldn't believe they went to the line.
Didn't watch the game at all.
But it wasn't even that. Like, she literally didn't stop talking and not a single out of like my wife and I just started laughing because out of the 3 hours, nothing had to do with anything.
I
mean, she could have been doing it at the coffee shop or whatever. She did it in $100 sheets. And the boyfriends were like, I think they were embarrassed.
Right.
Because we had two wicked old school guys next to us and they got up and left.
But they're going to pick their poison. Do we say something and risk the rest of our, you know, existence the next week dealing with them? Or do we eat it?
They ate it and they said, we're getting the hell out of here. And the funny thing is that by the seventh inning, my wife and I were just laughing because it was actually funny to listen to them talk because they went, honestly, from babies to manicures to roommates to jobs. I mean, it was and I'm not being sexist or I'm just saying they talked a lot. Like,
oh my God,
it was just unbelievable. So the whole experience, and then this is the one I want to get to. There was a dude in center field who was getting a lot of attention. He took his shirt off. Only the fat guys take the shirt off, and he was like waving and people were going nuts. They kicked him out.
They kicked him out for having fun.
Right, and then in protest, like five other dudes took their shirts off and swung them around. They kicked them out. And like my point is that I don't know what the indecent exposure or indecency rules are, but like I want people kicking out who are MFing up and down or yelling at a kid
right.
or getting in a fight. But
Or like, talking about nothing other than baseball.
But shirtless, right? I'm fine with. You know, and I feel like and everyone's been telling me, and I've said it, Yankee Stadium a little less so, but Fenway Park is a tourist attraction. On any given day, half the people there are tourists who just want to say they went there and they don't care about the baseball, and I've accepted that. But I haven't noticed all of the little problems attendant to it as much as I did on opening day. And they don't even sell out anymore. I don't even know if they sold out opening day, and there were thousands of empty seats over the weekend. And my message to the Red Sox, and my wife wanted me to write an op-ed, and I still may do it, is that
you're gonna fire one off?
They need to understand what's going on. And it's really difficult to justify. I think our highest on the demand pricing, the highest ticket price we have is $127 each for one particular Saturday game in the summer. And I guess because it's tourist that people will continue to pay, but they're just destroying the experience. I mean, it really is. I'd rather go to Baltimore. My kids can catch two home runs in batting practice.
It's way too expensive to go to a Yankee game.
Ball.
So I was looking at tickets. My son turns 13 in July, and they're playing the Yankees at home on his birthday. So we were like, all right, perfect. My wife can go up for work on a Friday. We go to Fenway, right? So I'm like, I'll look. And I knew they'd be expensive, but I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, I couldn't even find a ticket like under $160.
Even StubHub?
Yeah, nothing like under $160.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, you know, like, listen, you want to spend that kind of money for I'm sorry, man. That's just too much.
Yeah,
for four people, that's just too much. Now listen, maybe it'll come down. Maybe John Sterling can come through. I don't know if he gets road tickets, but listen, that just goes back to what we're saying here. Like, who's going to these games? Like, and then on top of it, you're going to jerk them around with everything you've been talking about.
Right?
Are you going back after you just did that? No, you're not.
And we're the ones that actually care. And I don't know. It's not like it's a new argument, but I just wanted to share what I saw on opening day, and it was extremely disappointing. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Now, Gerrit Cole, the line earlier in the week against Detroit was 1.2 innings, right? 1 2/3 innings, one hit, one run, two earned runs, five walks.
Yep.
And
tied a record.
On 68 pitches, he had 37 strikes. And the Yankees, I feel like every year there's some awful crisis early in the season ends up working itself out. So I wouldn't be too worried, but how worried are you?
I'm not so much worried about Gerrit Cole. I mean, I think he's gonna be the pitcher that he's been in general. His numbers don't look good this year. I mean, last night I would be more concerned with the fact that you didn't score any runs again. I mean, your only runs you're scoring is on a little league pop up to the infield.
Right.
So, you know, the Yankees had no business winning that game anyways. So Gerrit Cole will even out. I mean, I'm not going to go buying the spider tack stuff. His numbers are still pretty consistent if you look at when they started cracking down in June. Yes, his spin rate had dropped, but not as much as like Trevor Bowers did or Capillarian, or that's how you say his name, former Yankee with Oakland. He's like in the middle of the pack, so I'm not going to put so much weight on that. Yes, I'm sure that has something to do with it, but listen, he's still an elite pitcher. Is he a $300 million pitcher? I don't think any pitcher is $300 million.
Especially the way things are these days.
Exactly. But listen, he'll figure it out. It's a course of a long season. You know, last year, 30 starts, he only had one complete game. You know, I'd be a little bit more concerned about that. I know complete games aren't a thing anymore, but if you have your main ace, I would hope that you're going to get probably three of them in a year.
Sure.
You know, from him. I mean, Scherzer would give you three or four easily, you know? Right. It's unfortunate because I feel like right now, you know, like we talked about, you know, the Yankees and the Red Sox getting off to a slow start. And, you know, it's shaping up kind of like the way they said in the AL East, right? But they're not, neither team is playing good, right?
Nope.
The Mets are the flavor of New York right now.
Yeah.
And listen, if that keeps going, you never know how it could pan out.
But I will tell you that based on how I felt about, I don't know, the first little bit of the season, I think that if any of the teams are right around 500 coming out of April, I'm not heartbroken over that, to be quite honest. And so I don't pass a lot of judgment until the weather gets warm.
Exactly. And the game against the Detroit was like, it snowed for like 2 days in Detroit before that. It was like 40 degrees and winds were crazy. Right when the pop-up was hit, I was like, he ain't catching that.
But somebody won the game.
Won the game.
So that's that. You know, you talk about pitchers and complete games. We'd be remiss not to bring up, something we didn't get to talk about, which is Clayton Kershaw getting pulled after 80 pitches and 7 innings in a perfect game. And then you have this pitcher in Japan, Roki Sasaki, who got pulled, you know, I don't know. I mean, it
going
was
for a second perfect game.
Right. And the thing is, and they're pitchers in totally different situations, right? One is super young. They're trying to preserve his career. One is older and they're trying to preserve his career.
I'm glad you said older, not super old, because it's crazy. Clayton Kershaw is like 35.
I know, but
he's been around forever and he's always hurt. And he's coming off a flexor tendon issue with his elbow. And I mean,
first things first, let me ask you the question. Did we talk about we didn't talk
no,
about this last
we
time.
We didn't talk about it.
If you were the manager and you had a pitcher throwing a perfect game with Clayton Kershaw's history through 7 with 80 pitches, what would you have done?
I send him back out and see if he can get go batter by batter. That's what I would do. 80 pitches, right? I'm not buying the extended spring training. The only thing I'm going to say about that is he's coming off injury, right? It's always been the back with Clayton Kershaw. He's always been something with his back. He's finally coming off something with his elbow, right? So that is the only defense I'm going to say there. But if Clayton Kershaw says he was done, then I would say he's done. And what they had said was he told him before, I'm going to go right around 80, 85, and that's it, regardless, right? So if that's what...
I mean, listen.
Get on the same page and just make that up?
If he goes out there and hurts himself, it's a catastrophe.
It's a Johan Santana.
But then at the same time, I do like your idea of going batter by batter because you're only doing it for the perfect game. You wouldn't even do
it's
for
history.
A no hitter.
Yeah,
you would.
No, it's a perfect game. He
walks a guy, hits a guy, just pull him.
Right.
So I would have done that, and I think that that's good with this Japanese guy. I feel bad. I think he's bound to stay in Japan for a couple of years. They should let him go. They should let this guy go.
It's crazy.
They should let him come here so we can.
So he came out of that game after striking out the side. In the eighth inning.
I mean, he had
in the second perfect game he struck out.
Yeah, I think in one stretch he struck out 13.
13
in a row.
Right. And it's crazy. So, you know, in the Japanese league, that's the first no-hitter since 94, I think. First perfect game since 94. And there's been 19, I believe, total. In MLB, there's been like 23 total.
Right.
And we've been around a lot, I think a lot longer, obviously. But still, that's an interesting, you know, statistic.
It's just very rare over there.
Yeah.
And I would, a guy like that, I mean, he's 20 years old. You just, I'd love to know.
So by the time he gets here, he'll be
25.
Just about to have his first Tommy John surgery.
Right.
He'll sign with the Yankees. He'll have a Tommy John. He'll come back, have a couple of good years, and then, you know, go back to Japan.
I always love to know how, you know, and we have Ohtani now, and obviously Ichiro. He's kind of an icon in America now, too, with all these videos. I mean, if you've seen the videos of his workouts, so you saw the video of his...
Who's that, Ichiro?
No, yeah, you saw the video of his
first pitch.
It was so amazing. Yeah,
well, they keep talking about him like, you know, they want him to come back and play, which he probably could.
Yeah, but I mean, he's, you know, he works out. I read an article, I think it might have been ESPN the Magazine or Sports Illustrated, about how, like, in Japan, when he was, like, in his late 30s, early 40s, he would go out in, like, 35 degrees. And take flies and hit and just maniacal, maniacal. But I do think that even though he looks amazing and he does, and he could probably
could probably get in there in like a charity game or whatever, or you know, face a real pitcher once or twice. But over the course of like, you know, weeks and stuff, I don't think he's going to do it.
But I mean, it's still unbelievable. But
age gets everybody except Tom Brady.
I don't want to get into Brady because I don't want to get into Brady. I'd like to see this kid, let him go and come over early.
Well, maybe we'll see him in the World Baseball Classic. I believe that's next year.
Yeah, it would be cool. The last thing I want to talk about with you is actually something you brought up that
can we bring up Joey Gallo real quick?
No.
They got to get rid of him. That's all I'm going to say. When are they going to figure out to get rid of him?
Who's going
to
take him?
Just release him. He serves zero purpose for you.
Yeah, like, but you're on the hook for some money there. I mean.
And unfortunately, Texas isn't paying him this year. But listen, he's awful. He's not, like, there's no situation.
Yeah, but he looks so good. He's so big and strong.
So awful.
So manly.
So awful. 4Ks the other night. He's just terrible. He's terrible. Like, what? Like, I made the joke. We have a Britney Spears cardboard cutout in the studio here. And I made a joke texting earlier that you have a better chance just about if you threw her up in the box.
With the pitcher's distraction,
it's awful.
Probably get
listen,
a walk
I think out the Yankees
her.
In general are a product of their own system because, you know, they take so many close pitches, and a guy like Gallo, you can't do that because the strike zone is expanding. We see that.
Which I am in favor
that's a whole other show to get into, how they're expanding the strike zone. Fine. You got to swing, right? But for someone like Joey Gallo, who's going to watch all these pitches and who can't hit anyways, you know, there's your $1.10. That's what he's going to hit.
You think Cashman's going to admit that mistake and release him? I don't think he will.
He's going to go to Oakland or something, and he'll rake.
Right. Well, let's talk about Oakland. John Senecal, Brian Shackman here. Episode 72 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I didn't even know the guys they traded.
No.
So, like, I knew so little about who was on the Oakland.
Name one starter in their team without looking.
No, I can't.
Name me a starter.
I can't.
There's a former Red Sox on there.
Who?
Jed Lowry.
I love Jed Lowry, though.
That's it. That dude's like, you feel like he'd be like 42.
He's in his late 30s.
He's been around forever, and he's been at Oakland forever, too.
When he's healthy, that guy is a great hitter. But, you know, I didn't even know the players. And everyone knows they did a fire sale,
they got rid of like a player a day, I feel like.
Right. And
for like a week.
I think their salaries are, I think it's like the same as it was 20 years ago. But
their payroll can't be over $15 million.
No, I think it's like in the 40s.
Is it really?
Yeah. But
Jed Rowley probably makes $15 million.
They're not bad.
No, they lead the league in runs scored as we talk now. I mean, it's crazy.
And they're last in the league in attendance. Like, when they drew
17,000 on opening day, right? And they want to get a new ballpark. We all know that's not going to happen, right? Like, you can't put a new ballpark in. What are you going to say? Like, oh, we're going to rebuild this team? It's going to take at least 5 years to rebuild that team easily. And then they drew 30.
How many years you say?
At least 5 years to rebuild that team.
Yeah, I mean, with drafting and the prospects, they could probably be good in three, but five is probably accurate.
And they drew 3,700 the other night.
I know.
Right? You're not going to get a new stadium with that. Like, first of all, if you want to get a new stadium, which you can scream and cry all you want about like what's on the books there. There's no binding agreement on anything in that stadium. Like it's just basically they could just say, yeah, it sounds like a good idea. Right?
But I mean, during the Moneyball era, the stadium was a problem.
It was a dump. It's been a dump for a long time. Those mixed use stadiums are a dump, right? Like they're not. They're old. They're outdated. If you're going to stay there, they're going to need a new stadium. But that's not going to happen. They're going to wind up in Nashville or they're going to leave. Like San Francisco is the talk right across the bay.
I think it'd be sad if they left. I mean,
it's an institution.
I went
They've
to games
great
there
teams.
And they had great teams. First of all, Nashville deserves a team. We could talk about that another day. But I'd be bummed. But if they got a new stadium, I mean, Oakland just doesn't have a... There aren't a lot of proud Oaklandites. You know what I mean? It's not a city that has that kind of vibe, yeah. Right? And so I don't know what happens long term, but
it's just sad though. How do you get behind that? Like, I mean, they're worse than like the Orioles on paper.
Oh yeah, and the Orioles believe they don't even have aren't as bad as people think. Yeah, and when they get John Means back, I mean, they're a tough out. But I don't know what the solution there is because I would like to see it's a legacy brand. You know, I mean, the A's are a legacy brand.
Right. The only money you're making is off of a legacy brand and your owner, if he has deep pockets. I don't even know who the owner is. But I mean, they're not. You can't be selling merchandise. Whose jersey are you selling?
No, I mean, I think it shows that you can make a profit by doing nothing in baseball based
absolutely
on simply
nothing.
On TV, which is sad. And I mean, say they move, I would get rid of both Florida teams, and then let's have... No, I would. I would get rid of... And the only thing that, you know, at the bottom of the barrel that needs to be better, like the Pittsburgh Pirates need to be better.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason why the team... Pittsburgh's a great city. And I look
great
at the,
stadium.
I look at the bottom attendance, the last four are Miami, Pittsburgh, Tampa, and Oakland. Oakland's too good a team to play in front of nobody. I mean, Tampa's too good a team to play in front of nobody.
Miami's not leaving, though. They got a stadium. They're not going to... Tampa can leave.
They both should
leave. It's Tampa or Oakland. I feel bad for anybody that's an Oakland A's fan. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Even their manager's gone. He didn't want nothing to do with it. I mean, Billy Beane's like their only person, their GM. He's got probably another 20-year contract. But I feel bad for him because obviously he's probably the one that's being told just cut. It sucks.
There you have it. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. Listen, like it, share it. Watch it on YouTube. We'll talk to you next time on Fanbase, a deep dive into the